I share with you now this morning's New Testament lesson, which comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you would eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever thought or felt, I just want to get away from it all? Just want to get away from it all. Life, its pressures, its stresses, just add up. I just want to get away from it all. I think William Wordsworth probably was feeling that when he penned these immortal words. The American poet wrote in about 1830, the world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away. Perhaps in every generation, there are those who want to just get away. In the 1960s, you well remember, I think, the commune movement. People, young people, wanted to get away and live in communes, get away from the world and just have a few folks living together in communes. You've known of the Roman Catholic monastic movement for hundreds of years, where people go and live in monasteries. In America, you perhaps have heard of the Shakers, a Protestant offshoot of people who pulled away from society and lived a very ascetic lifestyle. Another group of American Protestants were the Hutterites. They did the same thing. Yes, every generation, I think, has some folk and some groups who want to do that, pull away, get away from it all. Probably, all of these have their roots in the earliest movement to get away from it all. In the fourth and third centuries after Jesus' resurrection, a group of people known as the Desert Fathers decided that they wanted to pull away and simply focus on Jesus. They believed the world was evil, that it was corrupt, that it was toxic, that they could not live in the world, they needed to pull away. So they went into the deserts of Syria and Egypt, hundreds and hundreds of people. And in those places, they would live either solitary or small group living, and live in caves or build small houses, and became hermits. You've heard that word, hermits, people who literally pull away from others. They did this based on some of the earliest Christian teachings that the world is an evil place. There was actually a heresy in the earliest church of the second century or so that said that all of the world is evil. We shouldn't have anything to do with it. And that was deemed a heresy. But many Christians felt that Christians had to pull away from this world. And one of the earliest symbols of the church was the boat. Maybe you've seen that, a ship. A ship on the ocean was a symbol of the early church. The idea being that Christians were in the boat, the danger of the world was the waves and the ocean all around it. So forever, there's been some sense of this desire, this need to pull away from the world and to be simply alone and separate and to focus on Jesus. The Desert Fathers spent most of their time reading the scriptures, meditating, praying, or supporting themselves by making baskets or other things out of nature, and whatever they needed for food, they bought, and then they gave away everything else. To get there, they had sold all their goods, and Jesus actually said that at one point. You want to follow me? Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. They did that literally. So the Desert Fathers came to be this group of people that grew in legend and story because one of the things that came out of this experience of a couple of hundred years of Christian history was some wisdom sayings and some wisdom teachings. And those wisdom teachings are a part of what we're thinking about in our small, in our sermon series now, a three-part sermon series called Living Godly Wisdom, based on the book about the Desert Fathers. And if you don't have it yet, I hope you'll get a copy. It's fascinating and helpful reading. The Desert Fathers would come up with these sayings and these teachings about wisdom. We need to think about what wisdom is. Wisdom, first of all, comes from God. The Bible repeatedly talks about gaining wisdom. The best thing we can do as we live lives trying to follow Jesus is to learn wisdom. And in the Old Testament, it's Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, who gives us great, great lessons of wisdom. In February, Trinity Church is going to focus on the book of Proverbs. You will each get a copy of the book of Proverbs, and you'll be asked and encouraged to read one chapter a day. It's very easy. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So on the first day of the week, of the month, the first day of the month, you will read Proverbs 1. On the second day of the month, Proverbs 2. I do this almost daily. It's a wonderful way to focus on what wisdom is and how we are supposed to live godly lives according to godly wisdom. Now, what's wisdom? God has revealed to us a wonderful world and given us the ability to comprehend it. There are three very simple ways of thinking about this, and I'm not a philosopher, but this is simple. I hope it helps. The first way that we have to comprehend the world is through the acquisition of facts, of knowledge. The Bible says it's good to gain knowledge. We spend much of our early lives gaining and acquiring knowledge, acquiring facts. And we all know a lot of stuff. You have facts, you've got knowledge, general knowledge and specific knowledge, knowledge related to the world, your job, etc. So the first level of understanding and of gaining insight into the world is knowledge. Then the next level that God's revealed is understanding. To gain understanding is the ability to connect two or more pieces of knowledge. As we connect the knowledge, we understand things more. When people have problems with each other and someone says, "I don't understand you," what needs to happen is that more knowledge needs to come into the story, into the narrative, so you can understand. So we start with knowledge, then we gain understanding. But God's desire is for us to go to the deepest level of comprehending this world, and that is to gain wisdom. And wisdom are the principles underneath knowledge and understanding. The divine principles that God has woven into the world, the ways that we are meant to live, and those wisdom principles are what Jesus reinforced after Solomon and others revealed them in the Old Testament. Let me give you an example of how this might work. You have knowledge about walking in the jungle, for example, and you see a pool. You come up to this pool. This looks like water, but it's not. You look closely and you say, "Oh, that's quicksand." So you have knowledge from some previous situation of having learned about quicksand. You know that it looks like water, but it has sand and it's kind of ooky and gooky, and also that, you know, it's not really pleasant. You also then have understanding. Somewhere along the line, you have connected the piece of knowledge about what quicksand is with principles of physics, that gravity and weight on quicksand will mean that something will get sucked into it. If you were to put a feather on quicksand, you know that feather wouldn't get sucked into it, but you know, just intuitively, you understand that if you put your weight into it, you will sink. You understand pieces of knowledge put together. Wisdom is when you walk around it. You understand what it is, but the principle of life is you do not step in the quicksand. Now, that's just one illustration, but wisdom is underneath everything that we live and do, and we are wise if we understand and gain knowledge, gain understanding, but then gain wisdom. Listen to a couple of the pieces of wisdom that are found in the Old Testament and think about them. These are Solomon's Proverbs. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he or she will not depart from it. That is wise. It's perspective for raising children. Another piece of wisdom: fire tests the purity of gold, but a person is tested by being praised. There's wisdom. Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. You've learned that, perhaps. And without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. All of these have perspective, the longer view. All of these invite us to look at something that's happening in a new way. And that's why this video, I think, will help you think about that. The audio is a little difficult, but watch the video and see how it is that in this little clip, we are called to look beyond to see something more. Let's watch.
May I come in? If you bend your medial collateral ligaments, place one talus in front of another, I don't see why you'd have a problem. Of course, if there were a news story covering this event, the headline might read, "Small brain enters room."
Fingers. What's the answer?
Oh, you're another one of those bright young fellows who always know the right answer, huh? Welcome to real life. How many do you see?
Four fingers, aren't there?
No. Look at me. You're focusing on the problem. Focus on the problem, you can't see the solution. Never focus on the problem. Look at me. How many do you see? Look beyond the fingers. How many do you see? Eight. Eight. Yes, yes. Eight's a good answer. See what no one else sees. See what everyone else chooses not to see. Fear, conformity, and laziness. See the whole world anew each day. And the truth is, you're well on the way. You can see something here besides a crazy, bitter old man. He wouldn't have come in the first place.
So apologies for the audio, but here's what he did. I think you got the gist. He put up four fingers and said, "What do you see?" And Robin Williams, the actor, said, "I see four fingers." He said, "No, look beyond the four fingers." You've done this. You can do this. And when you focus on what is beyond the four fingers, then your focus changes, and with your eyes, you see eight fingers. Try it sometime. The point of that clip is that to find wisdom, we have to look beyond what we see. And most of us have trouble doing that because we are consumed with what we see. Jesus reinforces the teaching of Solomon and teaching of the Desert Fathers with wisdom by saying, don't spend so much time on just what you see. He says it this way, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to his life? And don't worry about clothes. And he goes on talking about you're having little faith because you're worrying so much. And then he concludes by saying, but seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will take care of themselves. The Desert Fathers hid from the world. They pulled away from the world in order to seek God. Jesus doesn't ask us to pull away from the world. Paul, interpreting Jesus, said, be in the world, but not of it. So, wisdom is to live in the world, but to seek wisdom and to seek God beyond the world. Hiding is like avoiding. And we are wise if we learn to hide and stop worrying about the things of the world. Anxiety and worry consume many people. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of folks who worry all the time. I won't ask any hand raisers here, but I think I know. We worry about what could happen. We're anxious about what might happen. And Jesus talks about food and clothing. We can just substitute retirement plans and finances and mortgages and fill in the blank. And Jesus says that's not living wisely. Avoid worrying about those things. Think about all the stuff that you have. Someone once said that we own stuff, and then eventually stuff owns us because we worry and we're anxious about it. And then we want to get more stuff for whatever reason. I had a fascinating experience last summer at the Land of Make-Believe over in Hope. How many of you have been there? Lots of you, so you'll know exactly what happened to me. We had a great time with our family. I think there were five grandchildren, three adults, so crowd of eight, do the rides, the whole bit. It was a lot of fun. It's time to go home. Just like many, many public places, parks, museums, etc., the only way out is through the gift shop. So we go to leave. We get near the door into the gift shop, which says exit, gift shop, and there's a family in front of us. Another large family, maybe grandchildren, I don't know. There must have been at least four kids, about 9 or 10 years old, two or three adults. They were in front of us, and we thought they would just go right out, but they stopped. And the mom turned around and looked at everybody and said, now get in line. So they all got in a line. And she said, now here's what I want you to do. Take your hands and put them next to your eyes. True story. And she said, don't put your hands down until we're out of the gift shop. And she marched these kids like a little military platoon right through the gift shop and to the parking lot. Now, I didn't think to do that with our family. We just walked through, and I saw my grandkids looking at all the stuff, and all the stuff was looking back at them, but we made it out as well. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but the point is this. Jesus says, focus on what's really important. The Desert Fathers hid from the stuff of the world. We have to live in the midst of it. But let it not consume us. Let it not cause us such worry and anxiety. And ask yourself, how much of your stuff do you really need? And how much is necessary? There's a time when stuff is just too much stuff. The Desert Fathers sold all their stuff to follow Jesus. We don't have to do that, but we do have to remember to be cautious about stuff. One of Solomon's Proverbs put it this way: wisdom builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. The very things of the world that we buy and that we think are so important often then become a burden. And one of the great examples and sad examples was the great mortgage crisis of 2008. On the other hand, Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom, and all the other things will take care of themselves. The Desert Fathers tried to live according to wisdom. They tried to seek God's wisdom. And one of the stories in the book, among many similar good stories, is this. There were two elders living together in a cell, and they had never had so much as one quarrel with each other. One therefore said to the other, "Come on, let's have at least one quarrel like other people." The other said, "I don't know how to start a quarrel." The first said, "Well, I will take this brick and I will place it here between us. Then I will say, 'It is mine.' After that, you say, 'It is mine.' This is what leads to a quarrel and a fight." So they placed the brick between them. One said, "It is mine." And the other replied to the first, "I do believe it is mine." The first one said again, "It is not yours, it is mine." The other one answered, "Well then, if it is yours, you take it." Wisdom takes two people to have a quarrel. If one person doesn't participate, there's no quarrel. The Desert Fathers sought to live according to godly wisdom. Jesus asks us to do the same. And the way we do that is to seek first God's kingdom and put all of these other things, these lesser things, behind. Seeking God's kingdom is doing things like what we did in the Caravan of Hope, in serving those in need. It's loving the outcast. It's caring for the sick. It's standing up for the weak. It's giving to those who have need. It's compassion for those who are sick. You see, love and fear, love and worry, love and anxiety cannot live in the same heart at the same time. So for every moment that you love and have God's wisdom principles in your mind, worry passes away. Wouldn't it be great if you never had to worry because you were spending so much time seeking God's kingdom? Friends, we only have so much time on this earth. The stuff of life is not truly important, and you're sure not taking it with you. Avoid the worry and anxiety that it can bring by choosing to seek first the things of God, and you will be amazed at the joy that comes. Will you pray with me? Lord God, these great and central truths that Jesus has taught are clear. Teach us to hear in a new way. Help us to worry and be anxious less and less, and guide us to live according to your wisdom. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray this. Amen.